morning, everyone. If a man's going to lead the orchestra, he has to turn his back on the crowd. If a man is going to lead the orchestra, he has to turn his back on the crowd. I read a story about a biologist who did an experiment. And what he did was he took a big round pot with a kind of a flat broad rim on it. And he planted a plant in the middle. And he lined up caterpillars around the edge of that rim, head to toe, all the way around it. And those caterpillars followed each other around that rim of that pot until they all died. Either from thirst or hunger or exhaustion. There was a plant within inches that would have provided food or nourishment to them. But the follow the leader instinct was so strong that they didn't do that. They followed the leader around the rim of that pot until they all died. Interesting story, isn't it? I read that story. Can't vouch for the validity of it. But it's interesting. Brings up some interesting points, doesn't it? Who do you follow? Who are we following? The right things? The wrong things? The right persons? The wrong persons? What kind of a rut do you find yourself in? How easy is it to fall into the wrong ways? To fall into the wrong rut? To follow the crowd. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. I felt pretty good till I came in here today and all you guys were coughing around. Now I can't get my frog out of my throat. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Be ye separate. Okay, touch not the unclean thing. This is goes back to having no fellowship with the works of darkness. And says to be ye separate. Okay? Be ye separate from unrighteousness. Be ye separate from darkness. Don't touch the unclean thing. Don't get into the wrong rut. Don't get into the wrong rut. What happens when you get into a rut? The longer you're in it, the more you spin, the more you try to get out of it, the deeper it gets, right? The higher the walls get. And what happens in our lives? What happens if you get stuck on a country road and you get into a rut and you try to get out and you dig deeper and deeper? Sometimes you get out, don't you? Sometimes you have to have help. Sometimes you go over the edge. You have to have help getting back on the road. What happens in our lives when we get into a rut? We get in and it slowly, imperceptibly almost, gets deeper. The walls get higher. We have less of a chance of going over the edge. We get more comfortable in it, don't we? You get more and more comfortable in it. And the more comfortable you get, and the longer you're in it, and the deeper it gets, the more you're in there. Until we get stuck. Until we get stuck. Then you may be able to get out by yourself. But then you may need help. When I was an apprentice lineman, one of my jobs was to drive one of the big trucks. You've seen the power company trucks that have the augers on them that bore the holes for the poles and have the buckets on the end of them. Those things weigh As I recall, I think I can't remember if we had, if it weighed 30,000 pounds or we had a 30-ton license on it. But those turrets are big and heavy, and those trucks are big, heavy trucks. And you've seen the big structures of the big lines that have two poles and they have the lattice work in between them. Well, we had to go over by Clorinda one time out in the field and replace one of the poles in one of those structures. And we had several trucks, but it was my job at that time to drive one of those trucks with the auger on it. And I had a pole trailer behind me that had a 70-foot pole on it. And you may think of the poles outside your house. Those are 30-foot poles. This is a 70-foot pole. The base of that pole is probably as big around as any two men, if not bigger. The thing, I think, weighs in the tons. And it's a lot bigger on the ground than it looks in the air, believe me. But we pulled up to this field entrance, and we got out. We parked on the road and got out and went up in the field entrance. And my foreman, we looked it all over and everything, and the field entrance went up to where they plowed the ground, and the structure was back out into the plowed ground. And my foreman looked at me and says, "I want you to get that truck right over here by this structure." Well, we were walking in the plowed ground, and I says, "It ain't going to happen." I said, "We won't make it." And he looked at me and says, "I want you to get this truck right here." I said, "Okay." So we got back in the truck, and we headed into this field entrance. And these trucks had the 4-speed transmission, 2-speed axles. And I think I put that thing in about second gear in the high side of the axle, and I hit it. And I floored that thing, and I headed out in the field and got about halfway to that pole. And there we sunk. And there we sat. And you know, those things had dual wheels on the back. I'm probably altogether about this wide. So we had ruts in that. We had ruts behind us about this wide and about this deep. And we got winched out. We had other trucks there, and we got winched out. And we got things jockeyed around and got the work done. But we got into a rut. My point is, how many things are we surrounded by in our lives, in today's society, that insidiously, without any warning, over a period of time, before we ever realize it, slowly pull us away from the truth and into a rut? And how many times do we get comfortable in that rut? Because it's easy. Because we do those things without even thinking after a while. Look around and see what there is around us. I rail on the entertainment industry. It's an industry that, in my opinion, has an agenda to degrade our morality. The news media dwells on, they dwell on decadence. They dwell on crime, tragedy, wrongdoing. We're in a society that's more and more discourteous, more and more immoral. And we're taught people don't think about anything but themselves anymore. You know, you don't need anybody but yourself. We're taught to build egos, build self-esteem. You don't need anybody but yourself. You control your destiny. Okay? And don't admit you're wrong. Whatever you do, don't admit you're wrong, because it shows weakness. And you don't want to be weak. And if you don't be wrong, don't admit you're wrong, don't show you're wrong. Don't be weak. You know, that's not what we're supposed to do. You ever see that in the church even? What does that attitude lead to? Pride? Arrogance? I can't do anything wrong. Even if I did something wrong, I wouldn't dare admit it. No, might make me look bad. Can't have that. Pride. If that's not the greatest of man's failings, it's one of the greatest. 1 Timothy 3:6 talks about being lifted up with pride lest ye fall into condemnation. Talking about qualifications of an elder there, and it says, not a novice, lest be lifting up with pride, ye fall into condemnation. Being lifted up with pride causes fall into condemnation. 1 John 2 and 16 talks about the pride of life. lust of the flesh, pride of the eyes, pride of life. The three categories of sin. And one of them is pride of life. The scriptures say, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. Some of the things that insidiously, unknowingly creep into our lives. And I'm not saying that we can only think pure thoughts all the time. Because we're human, aren't we? We will not always do the right thing or think the right thoughts all the time. We can't or won't always follow the Word of God perfectly, because human beings are not without sin. What I am saying is, how easy is it to blink our eyes and come into focus and think, you know, maybe I ought to rethink my thinking on this. You know, or maybe I ought to get help. You know, maybe I can get out of this myself. Maybe I can't. Maybe I need help. How easy is it to realize after it's already in progress that we're in the wrong rut? We tend to choose our ruts because we have examples. We have life experiences. We become comfortable. Sometimes we make it out. Sometimes we don't. We adopt patterns in our lives. We've been taught patterns in our lives directly by human example. We've been taught patterns in our lives by experience. We've been taught patterns in our lives by who and what we follow. We need to follow good leaders. Right in here. Follow good example. Follow good leaders. Look at all the things we can follow, because some of them creep into our lives and lead us down the wrong path. One of the things that is especially scary to me is technology. Believe me, I'm not a whiz. But look at all the technology that we have and what we've had and where it's gone. The last 5 years, scary. I read an article that said the personal computer is going to become obsolete because you're all going to have it in your hand. You're all going to have it on your phone. You know, you can go to the internet, you can Google, you can GPS and everything right off your phone now. And this guy's theory was, we aren't going to have personal desktop computers anymore. We're going to have it all in our hand. But look at where we've gone. From movies, to TV, to video games, to internet games, iPods, iPads, iTunes, Facebook, MySpace, YouTube, HisTube, OurTube, ItsTube. Look at where we've gone. How many of you play games on your cell phone? How many of you even knew you had games on your cell phone? I've had my cell phone for 2 years and I just found out I got games on it. How much time does that take up? Where does it lead? We need to be aware of the patterns in our lives. And we need to follow good examples, good leadership. And we need to focus on our goal. Where are we going? This came up in a Bible study. And it made me stop and blink my eyes and look where I was going. How many of you have heard me complain about my management of my company and my job and my retirement? We were doing a Bible study, and one of the points that came up was that you need to focus on where you're going more than letting where you are bring you down. And that was when I kind of blinked my eyes and kind of came into focus and thought, you know, whatever happens with my job isn't as important as eternity. Maybe I better shut my mouth. So I'm trying not to complain so much about that anymore. But how easy is it to focus so much on what's happening now, especially the bad things, that we lose sight of our destination? We focus so much on where we are now that we lose sight of where we're going. And where are we going? You know, what's our destination? We're not just floating along aimlessly in this life, are we? You're not just drifting along. We're on a goal here. We're on a mission. We're getting to heaven, right? We're getting to heaven. That's our destination. We should always be aware of where we're going. Follow good example. Follow good leadership. Be aware of where you're going. We have family problems, church problems, job problems. Don't lose track of where we're going, because it has eternal ramifications. Does it not? Eternal ramifications. Never-ending consequences. There's a reason why the 20th chapter of Revelation talks about the lake of fire. There's a reason why in Matthew it talks about wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's a reason why there are so many New Testament verses talk about weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. Okay? Always be in consideration of where we're going. Get in the right rut. Stay in it long enough to feel secure. Stay in it long enough to remain comfortable, to become comfortable. Stay in it long enough so that you get deep enough in it that the walls come up and you don't go over the edge. Stay in it long enough that you can stay in it. Now, you're all probably sitting out there thinking, well, he just said you're going to get stuck. Will you get stuck if you're in the right rut? No. Why? Because you will be on firm ground. Now, here he goes again. You put yourself on the safest ground possible. I was told that when I was a kid by Marvin Negley at Clarinda Church of Christ. And I've remembered that since then. I tell the kids, if there's one thing I want you to remember that I've told you, it is this. You put yourself on the safest ground possible. Do not stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ on shaky ground. If you're in the right rut, you're following the right leadership, you're following the right example, you're following this. And this is firm ground. The bottom is not going to fall out from under you. You won't fall over the edge, because you're going to stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ on firm ground. On safe ground. Do all you can to make the right choices. Do all you can to adopt the right patterns in life. Follow the right leaders. Follow the right examples. Be like the conductor. Turn your back on the crowd. Steer clear of the world. Conduct your life in the right rut. How do you do that? Where do you go? I know we got to read this. What do I read? What do you read? Well, where would you go to start building the right rut? I always go to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, starting with the 25th verse. Now, for me, that's my favorite as far as living life. Not to say that there aren't other passages just as good, because there are. But this is my favorite. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 25. where it says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak the truth." Next verse, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." 27th verse, "Don't give place to the devil." 28th verse, "Let him that stole steal no more, but labor." 29th verse, "Let no corrupt communication proceed from out of your mouth." 30th verse, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." 31st verse, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Malice is hate. 32, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted and forgiving." Chapter 5, "Walk in love. But fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not once be named among you. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, but rather," what? "Giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words." We just talked over and over again in the high school class about Jeremiah and the false prophets who tried to lead the children of Israel astray, who tried to tell them, defy Nebuchadnezzar, stand up to him, face him. One of the prophets, Hananiah, says, 2 years you'll come back, even if he gets you. You'll be back in 2 years. Didn't happen. God says, go into exile. That's the plan. I want you to go into the exile. You'll be there for 70 years. Then I'll bring you back. But the false prophet says, uh-uh. It's not the way it's going. We've got the same thing in our lives. Same people telling us stuff that's wrong. You know, let no man deceive you with vain words. Okay? Don't be partakers of them. On down, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Okay? See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. 18th verse of the 5th chapter, be ye not drunken with wine wherein is excess. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to your hymns and speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always. Submitting yourselves one to another. Wives, submit yourself to the husband, for the husband is the head of the wives. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay? 6th chapter, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Fathers, provoke your children not to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to your masters. Okay? On and on and on. Put on the whole armor of God. This is as good a place to start in the right rut as any I know. Reading, studying, knowing God's will starts us on the right path. The longer you stay in it, the more comfortable you'll get. And if you're in the right rut, you'll be on firm enough ground that you won't get stuck. My message to you today is this. Get in the right rut. Okay? Some of the false teachers say you don't need to be baptized. We were talking last night about 1 Peter 3:21. This water symbolized baptism, which doth now save us. I talked to a guy one time that didn't believe that, and he looked at me and says, well, baptism doesn't save you. I said, wait. I said, it says, baptism doth now save us. But it doesn't save you. I said, but that's what it says. Well, it doesn't save you. The scriptures say, this water symbolizes baptism, which doth now save us. I believe that. In the last two verses of the book of Matthew, the apostles were commissioned to go into all nations, baptizing them. John 3 and 5 says, unless you are born again of water and of the Spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I believe that we need to be baptized. That's why we offer the gospel invitation. That's why I'm offering the gospel invitation now. It was mentioned about Kyle being baptized yesterday in his car wreck. Okay? I talked to Alan about that car wreck. Alan says he could have been killed in that. That car rolled. He says it was the kind of wreck where people die. He's a fortunate young man. I think there's a plan there probably. And he was baptized. We need to be baptized. We need to come before the congregation and make right anything that needs to be made right in our lives. So we invite you to come forward and do that as we stand and sing the song of invitation.